are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Is there a risk that the United States could lose its AAA credit rating, yes or no?
No risk of that. No risk. No risk.
This guy's been stoned since the third grade.
Robert Scott Bell.
I have a message. A message that is loud and clear and does not mince words. We've come to take our government back.
Robert Scott
Robert
Bell.
Scott Bell.
This is not an issue of credit rating. The United States can pay any debt it has because we can always print money to do that.
What's going on here? Can you explain this one to me?
He's kind of gone crazy.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Hey, out of my way. Ow.
What are you doing?
I'm breaking into the Natural News Studio. This is Liam Schiff.
Liam, you didn't have to get all, you
Hold
know.
Hold on. There's a security guard over there. Watch it. Okay, shut that door.
This is World Wrestling Federation here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. What's going on?
Break into the Natural News Studio because I want to talk to my friend Robert Scott Bell about his guts.
Oh, it's a gut check.
We're going to do a gut check today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're going to talk about intestines. We're going to talk about intestinal fortitude.
Liam Schiff, thank you for doing this.
It's all right. You're
It's a road weary week. You know, I'm traveling, so.
Yeah, right. So the audience might know you, that we had to record. Robert is indisposed, but he's here. He's here in memory. No, yes. He's here. Is it live or is it Robert Scott Bell?
Is it? Yeah, Robert X.
This is Robert X. Hello, this is the Robert Scott Bell Show. You're listening to Natural News Radio. Go to naturalnewsradio.com. That's where you are right now. Stay there. Go to robertscottbell.com to see all the news that's breaking, shaking, and quaking. See how we're blocking the health bad guys from doing all the bad things. Don't forget... Is it Durbin? Is it Durbin who's trying to get all the FDA?
Dick Durbin. Yeah. Well, the FDA, of course, there's a two-front issue. That's why I had last week the people from the Alliance for Natural Health, Daryl Rogers, then Rob Verkirk from Europe, because we've got a major, major issue going on here with the FDA trying to put new dietary ingredients on a pre-market authorization list, which is not the way the DSHEA was set up to do. It was supposed to be pre-market notification. We're coming out. We have a new ingredient. Fine. It's not going to kill you. Okay. It's not a drug. But the DSHEA is being reinterpreted by FDA as they are want to do to basically wipe out, could be as much as two-thirds, maybe more, maybe three-quarters of the dietary supplements on the market if this thing comes to pass.
Hold on. That security guard's coming back.
I hope that was an FDA agent.
It might have been.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry,
we deserve it.
Lock that other door. Hold on. Okay, that other door is locked now. Now we can actually talk. We don't know if we're okay anymore. What's that? You can't take anything that was not that was already approved is not going to be now approved?
Well, that which came about after 1994, if they can claim it's a new ingredient that wasn't on the market before 1994 under this reinterpretation of these DSHEA rules, they can literally force these manufacturers into basically applying for a new dietary ingredient, which is basically now almost like an NDA, which is a new drug application, which will require clinical trials, human trials, all kinds of things to prove that it can do something. But of course, if you claim it, then it'll be a drug. You'll have to spend another $100 million to $1 billion. I mean, this is beyond outrageous. If I wasn't so road worry, I'd be screaming right now.
Well, maybe Rick Perry could just force everybody to eat what's good for
them. He can mandate it. That's right.
Right. You have to eat. And here in Texas, we like to mandate what's good for you, like drugging your children and building fences. Well, he's not for the fences, but he is for forcefully injecting your children with That's the big question. Nobody seems to care in the media. They just say that it's irresponsible. Gloria Anderson Cooper.
Oh, thank you. Gloria Anderson Cooperville built.
Gloria, so Gloria gets on his show at night and he says, it seems very irresponsible of people to talk about how it's irresponsible. It's irresponsible. Irresponsible? What is that word? Is it untrue?
Is it any wonder, Liam, that we are overtly supporting Ron Paul? I mean, he won the California straw poll over the weekend, and that was huge. I mean, he wiped the floor with Rick Perry. Rick Perry was in second by about, you know, half of his. And they interviewed him afterwards out back behind wherever they gave the presentation, and they were trying to pin him on the vaccine mandate because in California there's mandates. And he says, I do not believe in mandates. I think people, individuals have a responsibility to decide whether they get a vaccine or not. He stood by his ground. I mean, do you understand if you're listening to this show, to the Robert Scott Bell Show, you read Natural News, you understand why he's the only candidate that will stand up for health freedom. There isn't another one. I've not met, I've not heard. If you've heard of him, call us, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Even, what's his name, Kucinich, who's an alternative medicine guy, I know that, but he's about socializing it. It's not about freedom. There is no other candidate. It's about free. Tell me, where?
Hey, even the big guy, Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn came out for him.
Peeing on the wall at the end of a couple's retreat.
That's right. Well, yeah, that were in the bushes.
In the bushes.
You remember that?
Ooh,
he dedicated the film to Ron and invited him to the premiere of Couples Retreat. And at the end, the characters, main male characters, were out there peeing on the bushes and dissing the Fed. Wasn't that? I was like, what the heck is it? Now we understand why.
Yes, now he's come out of the independent thinking closet, so to speak, and we recognize him as a supporter of somebody whose basic message is, I trust you. I trust you.
Yeah.
You know what? You won't get everything right. That's okay. We can't fix everybody's problem, especially by instituting some wacko, I said it, pseudoscientific madness-inducing, take the fluid out of the monkey cells and inject it into children. Stop. I mean, when is Gloria Anderson Cooper going to get on the TV and say, it's irresponsible of me?
Yes.
Mr. Good-looking with white hair. It's irresponsible of me to tell people that it's irresponsible to question this. It's not.
Right.
Well, who's the Bachman? Is that who? The presidential candidate with the husky blue eyes?
Yes, that's Michelle Bachman, right.
The back of my head.
Yes.
Right. So she gets it. Not to put her down, not to damn with faint praise, but even she gets it. She's standing there at the debate going, I think it, he's saying, I'm insulted that you think I would take a bribe for $5,000. Turns out it was what?
30? Yeah. Or more with it. Yeah.
This is Rick Perry at the debate being accused of having one of his staff people, key staff people, taking money from Merck. And he says, I'm insulted. We only took $5,000. I'm insulted that you think I could be bought so cheap. In other words, I can be bought.
Yes, it's going to take more than five. Listen, this is why we're doing a gut check today, isn't it, Liam? I mean, it's a gut check on all levels, but intestinal health, intestinal fortitude. We've talked about it. As I said, more questions come to me about this issue than anything, all the time. Please talk more about it, Robert. Please, please, please. And I was like, I can't do a show every day on it. But Liam, he heard me. He was beat me up. But I have to do it now.
I didn't touch it. I didn't it was your bodyguard.
That was the bodyguard.
Breakthrough.
Yes.
Robert's
got to get rid of him. Get a new one now.
Kind of a diva over. He's a very, very popular guy. It's hard to get to him. I have to send emails through the air. Actually,
come on, this is my healing ministry.
Paper airplanes. And
it's just a healing ministry. It's benign.
Call him JRSB.
Huh.
We are here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We will be doing an actual serious show about the intestines. It's fascinating stuff. The intestine is not just the place. What did my uncle used to say? The place that if you, he said, skip the middleman and throw your plate in the toilet. It's not. No, you don't want to skip the middleman.
No.
The intestine is the most important part of your immune system.
Yeah, it really is key, and it's the interface between the rest of the outside world. We'll talk about that. I think it is. It's never stopped fascinating me. The more I've learned about it, the more amazing that it is, the reality that we can interact and rely upon so totally the microbial world for our life, for our immunity, for our digestion. So we got to do a lot.
So that's our introduction. We're going to go into a show that we pre-recorded, but don't worry about that. It's new to you, new and fresh. fresh as laundry hung out in the sun to dry.
It doesn't require any expiration dating. It's that good.
It's not Wonder Bread. It will go bad eventually.
You're right. Wonder Bread. What was wonderful about that bread is you could smush it into a little, like an accordion, and it'd come back out and remembered its shape. It was like memory bread.
Yeah, they make mattresses out of that now.
I think that's Tempur-Pedic. We sleep on Wonder Bread.
Thousands of dollars for those Wonder Bread mattresses.
Yeah.
Robert, thank you for hanging in there. I know that you are currently on the road. I know that looking at you, you're actually slowly disappearing before my eyes. He's actually metamorphosed. It's like a photo of somebody who traveled in time and isn't quite here yet. He's going away bit by bit, but he will be back.
I think it's the transporter from that lost Star Trek episode you found a while back.
So without further ado, we will be introducing the intestine.
Does your dog bite?
This is the Robert Scott Bell Show. Liam Sheff will be your host, but Robert will be the star of the show as always. And as usual, he's going to be edumacating us about things that we need to know. Namely, the intestine. Go to robertscottbell.com. Find links. Robert's the guest today. You don't have to look that up. You know all about him. He's an open book. Go to naturalnews.com to see the news and information that is breaking, that the mainstream broken-headed media just doesn't have the guts to cover. We will be back in a few short minutes.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
After 21 years as a nutritional consultant, I have learned that the greatest roadblock to health is a compromised ability to detoxify. If your body fails to detoxify enough, you suffer from infections, diseases of all kinds, and die young. Detoxification involves a properly working liver and sufficient production of glutathione. Glutathione represents 60% of one of your liver detox systems. There are many products on the market that try to raise glutathione or detoxify the body. The most sophisticated ones cost $300 out the door and $1,200 or more over 6 months. We believe there is a quicker and more effective way to achieve detoxification. It is One World Way. One World Way is the most undamaged, unrefined, life-giving whey protein powder on the market we have found. Taking One World Way will feed your body the building blocks to rebuild, repair, and detoxify. To help you feel great again, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, we're rocking the health world. This is Liam Sheff sitting in with, not for, Robert Scott Bell. Go to robertscottbell.com. His website is up. Mine's been aching and shaking a little bit. Maybe all you people from the CIA are trying to knock it down, but I'm not going to accept that kind of treatment from you. We're here talking about a major, major, major health issue that is finally receiving some plaudits, some attention in the mainstream scientific literature. Robert's going to talk all about his tummy.
Tummy time. Well, I'm road weary today. That's why we're doing this, as I'm on the road. So Liam said, hey, we need to know about your intestines. I said, okay. I'm not one to shy away from talking about my intestines, so why not? I won't say let loose because that would be inappropriate for those that might be eating lunch right now.
Wah, wah.
But remember, the basis for good health, immune health, obviously digestive health, is the health of that alimentary canal from the mouth all the way out to the bottom, to your bottom. And that's an important thing to consider, considering that most of my life, the first 24 years anyway, were spent allopathically, pharmaceutically destroying that gut integrity and gut ecology.
The intestine has been abused by the Western medical establishment since the beginning, since antibiotics were dropped like Agent Orange into the stomachs of people suffering from problems. But of course, antibiotics were good against truly toxic pathogens that a weakened body couldn't resist mm-hmm. when nothing else was offered, nothing like hydrosol silver or vitamin C or any of the herbs or supplements that have been used to fight bacteria over the years.
Sure.
So penicillin was used as it was in the theater of war where
yes.
people were exposed to lice and mud and freezing conditions for years, not just weeks and days, but years on end. So their bodies were beat. And the doctors are saying, well, we can't do anything for them. They're just throw them in the pile and burn them. No, no, no. Here's the magical penicillin. Well, penicillin and all of the beta-lactam drugs and all the other new drugs that go into the intestine wipe out bacteria.
Well, also, they were very profitable. The U.S. government held patent on penicillin, in fact. That played a role in it. Don't think that the government incorporated was not interested in economics via other means just you know, beyond taxation even. So you find that when the government holds patent on it, it pretty quickly rises to the top of any marketplace artificially, but it does.
What'd you talk about, Robert?
What'd you talk about, Willis? Well, I mean, we go back into the 1990s where we started hearing about chromium picolinate, and I was always curious about that, you know, dealing with pancreatic issues, hypoglycemia and diabetes, and I would use homeopathic medicines like lycopodium, which is the club moss, and iris, which is the beautiful purple yellow flower, as a homeopathic. And we had great success in a lot of diabetics and reducing some of the reliance upon insulin. And, of course, hypoglycemia could deal with readily. But then suddenly in the 90s at some point, this chromium picolinate came on the scene. It was like out of nowhere, doctors were referencing studies. Chromium picolinate, what is this? Now, we know what picolinic acid is, or we should. It's a waste product, kind of a metabolic waste product, cellular digestion. It's waste. It's supposed to leave the body. Scientists found a way, if I can call them that, to bind the chromium molecule to picolinic acid, and they chelated it and called it chromium picolinate. Very, very minimally usable form, but the U.S. government held patent on it. Suddenly, it was everywhere in the dietary supplement industry. They said, oh, this is the greatest thing for, you know, anything related to blood sugar issues. They didn't call it a cure for diabetes, and it didn't really act as that because the utilization of it was not so good. But it was case in point that a lot of times when you see a product coming on that's suspicious, it may have the force, likely have the force of government behind it. And, of course, anything within the medical monopoly, it did. The chromium picolinate story is interesting because it lent itself a little bit toward the dietary supplement field, but I want my chromium in a food rather than bound to a cellular waste product, basically cellular poop. It's not going to be as efficient to be used. But going back to antibiotics, you know, that the idea of carpet bombing the intestines with pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides. I mean, that's basically what they said. Now, in extreme circumstances like you described, years of abject nutritional deficiency and toxin exposure, there are going to be some extreme infections that result. And they found, wow, this really works. What did it really do? It was sort of like a replacement immune system. Your immune system was exhausted. Your bacterial balance, your gut ecology was so wiped out that you had nothing left to defend yourself with. So they came in and substituted it with this antibiotic, which means literally anti-life. And that sounded really great. Wow, we got a magic bullet. And it's ironic that it did replace the silver bullet. It replaced silver by and large. And even homeopathy and some herbs, eclectic medicine. But that's where modern medicine began to abandon the natural herbs and things like that, botanicals that have been used for thousands of years because they had this new wonderful technological leap, as they call it, into petrochemical medicines.
So antibiotics like penicillin and its kin, its daughters, stepdaughters, and the rest of the beta-lactams and other drugs weaken cell walls, destroy bacteria. But what's the problem with that? What's the problem with this wiping out the bacteria? I mean,
there are multiple problems.
We're supposed to fear bacteria, get rid of the bacteria, right. Wash your hands all the time. Science is now reporting that there are some problems with killing the bacteria in your intestines.
Remember, antibiotics were based on the assumption that warfare was the only way we could stay alive, that the germ was everything and the terrain was nothing. It was irrelevant. The environment was irrelevant. It was all about, well, we see microbes there. They must be bad. They're pathogens because they're bacteria. And in that case, when they said, well, we've identified, let's say, XYZ infection or let's say Staphylococcus aureus infection, and we take the penicillin initially and see if it works against it, if it could eat through the cell wall or do something. It was a very singular focus. It wasn't a complex interaction, but a very violent one. But there was collateral damage, as we use the modern-day warfare term. It was indiscriminate. It would also damage human cells. It would also damage other bacterial cells that maybe they could claim naivete that there was a use for them, but they were just happy they got rid of the bad guys, or so they thought. What was within 10 years, maybe even sooner, some have said, of the introduction of these penicillins and sulfa drugs and wonder drugs of the antibiotic era became evidence was that there was a developing resistance. In other words, microbial strains of the particular targeted strains that would now be able to withstand the antibiotic and, in fact, turn around and survive and thrive within the presence of those antibiotics. In other words, they learned to turn around and eat the stuff for lunch. Mm. This happened within 10 years of the introduction, yet it took until maybe the 80s, certainly the 90s, where this became more on the medical radar screen, much less in the peer-reviewed journals, and then the media began to cover it. Oh, my gosh, look what we've created. We've created monsters. But then they were there to say, well, look what we've done, and they pat themselves on the back to say, oh, we know we created that, but we're going to be much more judicious in our use with these antibiotics. In the meantime, they began to be used everywhere for everything, including raising animals. The majority of antibiotics used in the West are actually used on animals that are grown in big agribusiness ventures.
Right. So what we have is an industry which holds patents, which destroys competition, annihilates it through law,
yeah.
I guess, through fiat, through mm-hmm. raids. So if you have a way to beat back dangerous bacteria, you really can't do it. You're at the mercy of the pharmaceutical industrial complex. And their penicillins, their amoxicillins, and their other drugs, which are their cipros, their deadly gut bomb drugs. Now, what's the problem with bombing the gut? Medicine now, in a recent article in Nature, mm-hmm. Nature is now saying, hold on a second, here's an article from June 2011. It's called Human Nutrition, the Gut Microbiome, mm-hmm. and the Immune System.
Liam, that's almost 3 months old. That's out of date already. Come on. You can't be referencing literature 3 months ago.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep reading it for my own sake, though. Now, this is the newest stuff coming out in June 2011, and certainly what they're saying here in this article, which you can find at Nature Online, or write me and I'll put a copy up in the sky for you to find, is that what's happening in the intestine at a microbial level is directly responsible for the production of certain kinds of white blood cells, T cells, stuff you hear in immune deficiency all the time, right? T cells, T mm-hmm. helper cells. Oh, wait a second. You've got to have a functional microbiome. You've got to have a functional little zoo
to produce
bacteria in there to help your body make the blood cells and the immune fighting cells that it needs. Wow. So what happens if you drop a carpet bomb, something that just like an Agent Orange that just defoliates everything mm-hmm. equally? What happens? You've just got an empty, hollow, porous gut at that point. Mm. What do you get then?
Well, when you talk about defoliation, that's really an accurate way. If you can imagine the little villi, like the hair-like projections at the microscopic level of the epithelial lining of the intestines, and this kind of carpet bombing literally just destroys, like if you talk about the grass, the vegetation, wipes it out, which is the sustaining go-between from that microbial external world to the internal world, to the internal milieu, to the nutrition, to the immune system, everything. And you wipe out the normal interphase or interchange there. And at that point, you've not only, again, killed the microbiome that sustained life, but you've actually damaged the interface between the outside world and the inside world. And it's a wonder that we survive one dose of these things. And I traveled through, and we've talked about my history, how many rounds of antibiotics I went to. It shows you the resiliency of life, that we can withstand all of these. And, you know, I'm not even getting into vaccines right now and the other drugs, but just the antibiotics themselves are so indiscriminate. They're horrific. And if we really went back to the natural world, we have solutions. We have options that can address even the most horrendous infections that right now modern medicine believes, oh, well, there's nothing else you can do except for antibiotics. And I would argue that indeed there are other things that we can do, but we have been convinced through mind control that the antibiotics are something beyond superhero strength. And they've taken on actually supervillain status because they've created these so-called superbugs.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the superbugs, remedies for them. You're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert is laying out his tummy for you, talking about the intestine. What is the purpose of it? What's the function of it? We're going to get into how to heal it. How to heal the intestine, maybe the most important thing any of us has to know, living in our cardboard cutout, hydrogenated oil and fake sugar culture. Go to naturalnewsradio.com to keep up with Robert 5 days a week. Go to robertscottbell.com for all the links for today's show. And the call-in number is
866-939-2355. That's the last four digits, Bell, B-E-L-L.
We will be back in a moment.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now, we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-219 1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Oh, righty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
We are coming back on the Robert Scott Bell Show to talk about the rumbly in your tumbly. We're talking about how to keep your tummy happy, your intestines healthy, to keep the microbiome. That's what the scientists are now calling it.
Yes.
They used to laugh at people who said pharmaceuticals are bad for you, antibiotics are bad for you, AIDS drugs which destroy your intestines are bad for you and cause AIDS. Well, now they're saying, wait a second, you've got to care for your microbiome. You've got to care for your little the flora and fauna in your stomach. The little, the happy little organism.
Yeah, hug your inner tree.
Hug your inner pests.
Yes.
They're not pests. They outweigh you. They outnumber you. Yep. They're more important in some ways. We are symbiotic organisms, and they are producing, helping us digest certain kinds of fats, producing T helper cells, producing white, producing the immune system right there in the intestine.
The B helper cells, too. And, yeah, I mean, all of this is very, very important to understand our interaction with the natural world. This is not an algorithm. I mean, this really is hard medical science now. We're talking about legitimate stuff that is being found out. I've interviewed Fred Pescatore. We'll get Dr. Pescatore on again soon, if we haven't already. Replayed him a number of times because it's such valid and viable information. And that's a gastroenterology guy that I respect because he respects that microbiome and supports its recovery, which is what we want to do.
And it's what Jamie Lee Curtis wants you to do. I mean, this is now caught on with some companies that are manufacturing products for the general public. Oh, remember probiotics? It used to be some kooky thing. Well, when I was studying my macrobiotics, I'd eat your miso a few times a week. Eat a nice light miso broth. Why? Because it contains all these helpful, friendly bacteria that originate in the air and then you cultivate in fermented foods. And everybody, well, that's very strange. I mean, why do you want to eat bacteria? Hmm. Well, I remember going through airport security.
Right.
And the happy, I guess, young man was telling me that it's okay to put your food through there. It'll kill all the bacteria. And I
right.
said, well, I'm trying
to travel with sauerkraut here. Leave it alone.
I'm fond of some of that bacteria. He said, well, it's actually healthier and it tastes better. And I said, really? With radiation passed through it? I didn't take his advice. I almost stopped and paused and said, do you understand that you're the bacteria inside of you outweigh the other cells? You know, they're more important in keeping you alive than, but I didn't
Look,
want to be
TSA,
arrested.
Look, TSA, brain dead. Don't even try. I've tried. Not working.
I didn't want to be arrested. He might have thought I was calling him some sort of terrorist, harboring something inside of him that wasn't truly him.
Yes.
No, this is our microbiome. And again, the article in Nature is now telling us. They actually tip their hat at a certain point to something else. And I just want to say this out loud. They say that in children who are starving to death, who are chronically malnourished in other countries, vaccines are ineffective. Hold on a second.
Wait a second. Did I hear that right?
Hold on a second. You mean it's not the vaccine, it's whether you have a microbiome, in other words, whether you are fed and have good nutrients?
Shocking.
They're giving it away. They don't even realize what they're saying.
Yeah.
This thing is 50% effective. No, in other words, the vaccine isn't doing the thing. It's your diet and the nutrition and the health of your intestines. They also say that we internalize the genetic codes of the foods that we eat. Some of the little organisms living in the seaweed in Japan get into the stomachs. Of course. I mean, these scientists are amazed. Well, how did that happen? Because you eat it.
Yes.
Because we're symbiotic organisms. So let's talk a little about maintaining gut health. I will go first and say that in my macrobiotic studies, we're taught that the intestine is the root of health. In Chinese medicine, you're taught that the liver is the root of health. Keeping the intestine happy, not drying it out, not carving it up with burnt, carbonized. People like to blacken bread with this carcinogenic gook on it. They like to blacken meat. They like to eat a lot of acid-forming food like heavy meats and sugars.
Mm-hmm.
These things really try the microbiome.
Well, it's a challenge. It certainly puts a test on. And you're doing this just from a dietary perspective. Now, if that were all that was happening, Liam, we could probably handle it, honestly. I mean, it's not ideal, but we got to look at all of the other things that you've already mentioned, we've already discussed. The drugs, the additives, preservatives, flavorings, colorings, pesticides, fungicides, and on top of the drugs, okay? The antibiotics, and not even just the antibiotics, but every drug as a synthetic, molecular something.
I'm going to throw refined white sugar on the drug pile.
I call it crack cocaine of the food world. Because it is highly addictive and it is devoid of nutrition. And at that point, it depletes the chromium stores that I mentioned chromium earlier in the body to such a degree that you no longer function. You can't deliver energy into and out of the cells appropriately because you've become hooked on this crack cocaine food, which is not really food.
Also, it's very acid forming, so the happy colonies of bacteria die and unfriendly bacteria grow.
That's right.
You can't really digest well anymore, like that red algae that forms in polluted water. So stay away from the water.
Terrain, law of the terrain. What grows there is dependent upon, you know, the soil itself. And acid pH type balance issues is right. You know, you have a stomach that should be an extremely low pH, of course, during the time of digestion, and the tissue there is meant to handle it. And oftentimes they say, oh, you've got too much acid. That's therefore you have a stomach ulcer. Well, with these stomach ulcers, you know, as they claim, well, there's too much acid. No, in fact, it's the opposite is true. You have the imbalanced pH in the other direction, not enough acid production, and then suddenly microbial growth, like they call it the Helicobacter pylori, H. pylori, begins to grow in a stomach that it could never grow in. And then they throw more antibiotics in because they say it's the bacteria that caused it, never mind the functional or dysfunction of the production of stomach acid due to other nutrient deficiencies, including magnesium, which is a big one there. So this is the wrong-headed approach. And of course, with all of the foods, the additives, the drugs destroying and upsetting the pH of the gut and the intestines, then they start putting in for the stomach the proton pump inhibiting drugs. And, you know, these are, what do they got? The Prilosec, right? The purple pill Nexium. These have become like the new candy of the drug store, the candy store. Everybody goes on them because everybody has got acid reflux, gastroesophageal reflux disease, and it's all because people are not producing adequate quantities of the acid that they say, oh, it's too much acid. It's the, you know, whatever your doctor says, do the opposite. I know that's a broad generalization, but you get what I'm saying here. They completely overlook the function and the need for all of these substances getting in the body so that production of the things that are designed to be produced actually happens. And when it doesn't, rather than encouraging it to happen, they stop it even more, and you temporarily feel better because they could stop symptoms.
So let's do this again so I can get my head around it. We're damaging our microbiome. We're damaging our intestines. We're eating foods which are toxic. We're taking drugs which strip our guts. We can no longer digest properly. We begin to digest badly. Food sits there. We get acid spitting up into our throat. We go to the doctor. The doctor says, you need Prilosec. You need whatever the other one is called.
Yeah.
The happy little purple pill.
Nexium with the yellow ribbons, whatever.
Now, what is that doing? What are those drugs doing?
They're literally blocking the production of acid. Literally stopping it. Now, of course, they're completely stopping the digestive processes. So what you have, it's almost like the gastric bypass surgery by drug. Because basically they take out part of the stomach and connect it to further in the intestines, and they basically stop the digestive process altogether chemically instead of surgically in this case. And so these people end up with severe nutritional deficiencies and even cancers because the tissue itself has become so damaged that it never repairs. It tries. The inflammatory process tries to kick in for healing, and it goes chronic beyond that. And then these cells are just desperate for survival. They go rogue, and we call that cancer. And so it's cancer by modern medicine, caused by iatrogenic, you know, drugs, basically. And rather than encouraging the production of stomach acid, which in fact would reverse these scenarios like the stomach ulcerations and even the GERD, which is just a blowout when you have gases produced by food that is putrefying in the stomach, and the little acid that is produced blows out like a volcano up into the valve of the esophagus and starts eating away at tissue that is not supposed to be connecting with that substance, the acids that are that low in pH.
So what, let's think. So this is a problem a lot of people are suffering from. People used to say, oh, that food's repeating on me, but now there's a whole industry around I can't digest. And the medical establishment's solution is to stop your digestion.
Correct. Shoot out that warning light, whatever you got.
Right. So my macrobiotic sense would say, you know, my training would say, what are you eating? Are you eating whole grains, beans, vegetables, low on the totem pole, low on the food chain?
Yep.
A lot of greens, a lot of natural things, some miso, good essential fatty acids. You know, are you taking some papaya enzymes, some things to help you digest? Are you taking a little bit of vitamin C? I'm a vitamin C person, to help you rebuild some collagen and do some good work there. What would you suggest? You recommend a particular. You want to wait till the next. We'll wait till the next one. I want you to give your particular.
Sure.
patented way of repairing the intestine. I want to jump into one more thing before we jump into that. That'll be the next segment. We're going to tell you how to heal your gut, the Robert Scott Bell way. Wait a second. There's one more thing that happens when we inject everybody all the time with antibiotics in hospitals. Number one, they die.
Yeah.
Because antibiotics kill cells. They kill mitochondria, which is like saying you're pulling the engine out of
your car. It's chemotherapy. It is absolutely another form of chemotherapy. They just don't like to call it that because that has a bad connotation.
Right. When, you know, the mitochondria in our body are very much related to the bacteria that these things kill, and these things can kill the mitochondria. That word should just be replaced by the word engine, if it doesn't make sense to you.
Yep.
The engines in your cells.
Yep.
So antibiotics kill the engines in your cells. That's why you feel like death after you take them. You lay on the ground and you can't get up because the engines of your cells are being assaulted by these drugs. Not only that, but bacteria are much smarter than the drugs, and they come around and they form things that are resistant, like now we're calling them resistant. In fact, they have an acronym, MRSA.
Yeah, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. They've got vancomycin-resistant. You know, there are so many things that have become, now they call them multi-drug-resistant strains, MDR.
MDRs. Are there solutions? Do you have to hide and cower in fear?
No, there are solutions.
Only on the Robert Scott Bell Show. When we come back, what are the solutions to MRSA? What can you give your children instead of antibiotics? And how do you repair your intestine? We want to thank the Prepper Podcast Network for carrying the show. Remember, Robert Scott Bell is reachable at 1-866-939-2355. 1-866-939-BELL. Go to naturalnewsradio.com. It's probably where you're listening to the show, and robertscottbell.com to see all the links mentioned in today's show. We will be back in a minute.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom, here's Robert.
Hey, this is Robert Scott Bell. My voice has gotten a little deeper, and I've become a different person called Liam Sheff. Robert Scott Bell, my clone, is right over there. We're talking about MRSA. No, this is Liam Sheff. We're talking about MRSA. We're talking about antibiotics, how to survive them. How do you survive the antibiotic onslaught? How do you survive the antibiotic onslaught, Robert Scott Bell? Tell us.
Ooh, man, run for your life when a doctor comes at you with them. It's a good question. We talk about the resilience of the human biology and of course, the microbial world as well, that we withstand so many assaults. The antibiotics, as we talked about, are like napalming the body, the intestinal tract, and more, with a lot of collateral damage involved in that. How do we survive? We've got to recover. We've got to understand the damage that occurred and the damage that continues to occur long after you've been exposed to them as a treatment, as a chemotherapeutic treatment. So once we realize what the damage is, then we now can make rational decisions, hopefully informed decisions about, well, what can we use substance-wise, energy-wise, or otherwise to bring about the healing that the body knows to do but is blocked from doing it because we continue to throw in substances that create this chronic inflammation, or we don't know to put in the substances that can help to regenerate the tissue as it's designed to be regenerated. So these are the obstacles, not knowing that we have chronic inflammation and substances going into our body that chronically inflame, and the fact that we are depleted of the basic tools and substances that the body would utilize to repair the damage.
Well, we're facing double jeopardy. We've got chronic inflammation from the diet, from the pharmaceutical onslaught, and when we go to repair it, we've got pharmaceutical onslaught. We've got Prilosec and more antibiotics. So how do we recover? In fact, there's worse than MRSA out there. They're all kind, because bacteria are smart. They're smart. So what are they up to?
Well, they're actually colonizing. I mean, it's like the Borg collective from Star Trek. It's like once they realize they can form these colonies, they create what's known as biofilms that layer over your intestinal lining and completely corrupt any potential for digestive normalization function, immune function, and utilization of nutrients that you might be trying to throw into your gut. And these are very difficult because antibiotics are not efficient or effective against them. The biofilms become almost living entities unto their own self because they're creating an environment for their own survival, which may long-term not be good for your survival. And on top of this, beyond the antibiotics, beyond the Prilosec as such, then they start in with the prednisones, these things in the family of steroids and cortisones. And these are completely immunosuppressive. Yes, they reduce or eliminate inflammation by force, but they don't address the underlying issue and they create more toxicities. Therefore, more aberrant life forms will grow in that environment. So what can we do? That is the question.
Hold on. We actually have a caller.
This is a biofilm, and I don't like the way you're talking about me. I have a right to colonize you.
Yeah, you can colonize some other planet, right? If you want to be a hospitable host to biofilm, go ahead and see your allopathic medical doctor and say, Doc, give me all the drugs you got.
I'm gonna survive in this in the United States of America. Nobody knows what to do.
Robert Scott Bell, the biofilm has a point. What do we do?
Yes, well, we've got to alter the terrain. We have to restore integrity to the terrain so it is not a hospitable environment to these life forms. But once the biofilms have taken over, it's very, very difficult. Now, at the level of antibiotics, they're operating in what they call a macro pharmacological world. That means large quantities of large sizes of molecules, synthetic albeit, and they cannot penetrate the biofilm. We now have to look smaller, right? The microbial world is very tiny, very minute in quantity relative to, you know, a lot of other things, but yes, devastating. And so here's where we go into the realm of the trace element, trace mineral, trace metal, known as silver, the dividing line between the lower life forms, the microbial world, and the higher life forms, the mammalian world, the mammalian cells. And that is a naturally occurring metal. We've talked about it many times over the years on the Robert Scott Bell Show. It is not a foreign strange metal like mercury, which is very toxic even in minute amounts. Silver is largely benign, but releasing it in a very small form, in a very small quantity, is able to then penetrate the biofilms because of the size of the particles. We talked about, let's say, a virus like the cytomegalovirus, maybe around 200 nanometers. If we have particles that are actively charged of silver down below 10 nanometers, even smaller, we have the ability to go and penetrate and bind to bacterial, viral, and fungal cells, disrupt their metabolic functions, their ability to reproduce, and even to penetrate these biofilms. There are studies now where they're marrying antibiotics to these so-called nanoparticles of silver. Not that the nanoparticles of silver need the help of the antibiotic, but they're literally struggling for their lives, the pharmaceutical industrial complex, to lengthen the life of their antibiotic paradigm. So they recognize that silver can already do these things. Some studies, tests have shown activity over vancomycin-resistant microbes, 88 times more efficient with silver than with vancomycin or other antibiotics. So it isn't a question of whether it could work. It's a question of whether the medical monopoly wants to relinquish its control, which it does not, to acknowledge what the science is showing worldwide about what silver can do here.
So on the right, so what you want people to do, go down to your local pawn shop, buy a couple old pre-1964 coins.
Chew them up. Chew them? Only 90%. We got to go 5/9 pure, I think. 99.999.
So how do you chew on silver, and how do you take silver?
Well, now you got to utilize electrolytic processes to release the active state of silver at small quantities, but in small sizes, so that in a given area of water, you have tremendous surface area available to the biological milieu, in this case, to basically allow for a transit dispersion into the areas where even the drugs cannot go. And so for me, when I go low tech, I come back to the intestinal health protocol that I utilize with the silver, bioactive silver hydrosol in combination with an aloe vera juice that's very clean and pure to help carry it down into the gut to allow for penetration in the biofilms to start beating back the microbial life forms that have taken over down there. And at the same time, restore integrity of the lining. We would also use the amino acid L-glutamine as another assist. People are using glutamine already, but they don't know about the silver and aloe combination to accelerate the healing of tissue there.
Oh, boy. Hold on. Let me get my recipe book out. We've got L-glutamine, which is an amino acid.
Yep, yep.
Which you can buy, what, in any...
Health food stores carry it.
L-glutamine. Yeah. What's a, what appears in most... Many foods?
It's not that uncommon of an amino acid, but as we do with supplements, we find that to get to therapeutic doses, sometimes we have to utilize concentrated forms that you couldn't get in food, quantities that you would need to heal the tissue in this way.
And then you want an aloe vera, a clean, natural aloe vera juice.
Yep, simple organic aloe vera. There are many fancy aloe veras, and I'm not speaking badly of them, but for our purposes in this protocol, the aloe vera is utilized primarily as a carrier agent for the silver hydrosol to be carried past the stomach into the gastrointestinal tract to do what it does, which is what? Reduce inflammation of cells that are damaged, roll back the cytokine storms. These are the inflammatory immune cascading cells of the immune system, of course. And we want to, again, address the microbial issue, the pathogenic life forms there, and basically retard their ability to reproduce, eliminate them. And we want to stimulate the recovery of the tissue. That's the acceleration of healing of epithelial tissue, which the glutamine is going to help with. But the silver accelerates healing of epithelial tissue like nothing else I've ever seen.
Hmm. So we've got a little silver, and it's silver hydrosol. So you can't just chew on a coin. You got to go get a hydrolyzed silver?
It's in the family of colloids or colloidal silver, but it's a much more pure, much more active, and I believe safer, more aligned with the safety margin of a homeopathic medicine, which we would call argentum metallicum, which is the Latin name for silver. But in this form, it's specific via electrolytic processes using vortex energies, which is similar to how homeopathy is made. It's not identical, but then you release only the active state of the silver. It is not bound into proteins or salts, or it's not bound to other contaminants, so that it is fully engaged, ready to do work, and then it is easy to process and excrete as well by the body.
Caller, did that answer your question?
I don't like the sound of what you guys are talking about over there.
Yeah, if you're from the Biofilm Manufacturers Association, you're not going to like what I have to say right now. And I've worked with physicians on this issue as well. They're very aware of the deep concern that they have for the growth of the biofilms. And it's not going to be a petrochemical that helps in this case ultimately, because there's always the damages associated with it that creates more opportunities for biofilms and pathogenic life forms to situate and make home of your intestinal tract.
Well, very interesting. Now, I've taken some probiotics from time to time. I eat a lot of healthy, raw, natural foods, and I cook my little macrobiotic diet, and I get my seaweed and miso from time to time. I do take a probiotic, one that seems to have a lot of varieties of subspecies in it that is well recommended and well reviewed. Do you cotton to probiotics? Do you
like they're absolutely essential in here. I would go back, if you can, do a search for Dr. Fred Pescatore in any of the Robert Scott Bell shows. Particularly, he's wonderful in that. He's confirmed a lot of the things that I've told you. And the microbiome, reestablishing it, means we have to put in the good, friendly flora with fermented foods, yes, but aggressively beyond that, in cases where a lot of people need more, to go for these forms of supplemental probiotics. I am a big supporter of grown food supplementation, as I am grown probiotic supplements, whether it be for fermented foods or the things like the work of Japanese Dr. Ohira and what he's done, because he understands the microbiome and has established these probiotics in conjunction with prebiotics, that is the food that is necessary for them to recolonize, as opposed to throwing in 100 trillion colony-forming units and hoping some of them stick. That's why they throw in 100 trillion billion. Or let's see if we can bring its own food, if we can establish the new terrain like we talked about with the health protocol, intestinal health protocol. Now you have situation in the gut that's quite different. It's going to be open and resilient and receiving of the new flora that you're trying to situate. It doesn't have to struggle as much. And that's a very important part. People often look at this allopathically. It's like, oh my gosh, I've wiped out my good guys. Let's throw some more good guys in. Never mind that the home that you put them back in is not conducive for their colonization.
You got to build a nice, happy home.
Yes.
Don't forget you're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. This is Super Robert Scott Bell on the other side of the mic talking about your tum-tum, being interviewed by Liam Sheff. I'm going to throw in my experience, my old macrobiotic experience. We're always talking about going low-tech, so mm-hmm. I'm going to say get a Japanese pickle press. Get something that can press vegetables. It looks like a container with a flat disc in it and a wheel that presses it down, mm-hmm. and wash some cabbage and chop it up very, very, very thinly with some sea salt and whatever spices you want, and press that for a couple of days. The water comes out, the natural bacteria in the air colonize it, and it makes a light, kind of very fresh sauerkraut. You can do this with all kinds of vegetables, and thereby getting the local bacteria in the air to mm-hmm. colonize your stomach. You can actually do a lot of these things at home. I really enjoy this, and it actually tastes good, and it's a nice way to supplement your meal. They're called pressed salads or homemade pickles, something I came up with when I was studying my macrobiotics. Well,
absolutely essential to make food your medicine in that way.
Yay! And let me throw in another for my friend vitamin C. Now, I'm looking at ways to make vitamin C that don't require the pharmaceutical industry to do it, and I'm looking at taking dried orange and lemon rinds and drying them and then putting them in something like a strong blender or a seed grinder, some such thing, and making a powder and using that in foods, because that's not only going to have vitamin C, but all the accompanying nutrients, which we love to have. Well, more at another date. Maybe we'll put out a special edition of this kind of thing, because people are always asking,
yes,
how do I heal my
stomach?
This
is the big one. Yes, this is the big one. And when we talk about, wrap it up on this topic, yes, there's always more. We'll have to do more, Liam. And, this is the thing that I get the most requests about, gastrointestinal health recovery. Now the biofilms, we add to that mix, and we've got the methods to do that. So I appreciate you asking me these questions.
Here in the Robert Scott Bell Show, remember, you're listening to naturalnewsradio.com. Go to robertscottbell.com for all of the links to today's show. The call-in number for your questions, if you have a question for Robert, is 1-866-939-BELL,
866-939-2355.
And as Robert reminds you every day,
the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott the Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Well, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just got out of hand.
Robert Scott Bell. Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
You're listening to Natural News Radio. The quiet storm of health freedom. This isn't Robert Scott Bell. Robert's being held captive in his own studio. We're trying a different approach this time. Low-key. Oh, yeah. Nutraceuticals. The microbiome of the intestine. We're going to talk about it all. Hey, this is Liam Sheff sitting in for Robert Scott Bell, who's looking punchy and confused and concerned over there in the corner. Robert?
Yes, Liam. What are you doing? What are you doing to my show?
We're doing the quiet storm of talk radio. You're always so high energy. I wanted to do the Venus flytrap version. It's the quiet storm.
The NPR version?
No, quiet storm.
The quiet storm.
I wanted to try something different. It's always health. It's always some breaking news item. It's always something terrifying. It really is. The world.
There's a lot of terrifying things out there.
The world's, and we're always trying to make it accessible, and we're always trying to do our best to help people, right? Get a handle on it. Make sure they know what to do. Make sure. I want to do something different. You're a real person. I know you as a real person. I wanted to just talk a little about something else.
No, Liam, I'm a cardboard cutout. You know it.
He is a robot. He fights for health freedom, and that is all he does. No, you're not. You don't live on, I don't know, kryptonite pellets or whatever. You're a real person, and you have likes and dislikes, and so do I. And I wanted to give people a chance to think about the culture that we live in a little bit differently. And my favorite window to the culture is always the arts. It's always cinema. It's always music. So I wanted to talk a little about movies. Everybody loves movies. Everybody loves movies. Movies that represent, that bring up the idea of freedom, something worth fighting for. And it may, I'm putting you on the spot. I didn't tell you what this was going to
be
about.
No, you didn't.
I want.
Making me want to run. Run!
I want to talk about your top 10, Robert Scott Bell's top 10 favorite movies. And I'm going to throw some of mine in too.
Okay.
And I want the bloggers on the Facebook and the FaceFriend and the FaceTime to come in and chime in with theirs. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about movies today, they can be controversial, they can be salacious, they can be clean as the driven snow, but I want them to be about I want him to tell us something. I want you to tell us something about yourself as you tell him. So I'm going to throw out one of my favorite movies, and I can tell you why. I'm just going to throw it out. Hard Day's Night, director Richard Lester, 1964.
Little Beatles. You got to have some Beatles in there.
Actually, that's Cockney. So we're gonna. John Lennon talked in the back
it's
of his throat.
A little different. Yes.
Whack. And George Harrison talked like this. Anyway, they all talked like that, and they were two geniuses, a very bright guy, and a really nice drummer. Right?
That's the way to describe it.
Lads from Liverpool.
Yes.
And they weren't discovered in 64, and they weren't discovered on the Sullivan Show. They worked probably from the very early 60s, late 50s even, with John and the Quarrymen and Paul jumping into that group as young teenagers. And Paul could play 20 Flight Rock on the guitar, and it impressed John, who was an arrogant, insecure, argumentative guy that, you know, you saw later in media doing his thing, and unfortunately assassinated. Wonderful, wonderful characters, though, with a, you know, kind of wonderful Liverpoolian accent and, yes, you know, North England.
What you bring up there about the Beatles is really interesting, and we've talked about some of these things as well. These guys worked for many years to become an overnight sensation. How many times do we discover people, or maybe we only find them after the fact, that they've already made it big, and you have no idea all of the years they've toiled in obscurity, just honing their craft, doing it for maybe the love of, maybe they had a big dream that they would be big, but the reality is there's so much behind the scene for years and years and years and years and years, and then suddenly they're discovered. And that's where people see them, and they go, wow, I wish I could do that. I could be an overnight sensation like them, not realizing any of the background that really took place to get there. Is that why you liked Hard Day's Night?
I loved Hard Day's Night because I was a Beatles aficionado from the earliest age. I used to sit between the giant, I don't know, 3.5-4 foot tall wooden speakers, wooden speakers, and I would just sit there and I would listen in stereo or mono mix to I Want to Hold, you know, She Loves You and I Want to Hold Your Hand, and then later Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields. And,
right.
You know, I was born in 71, so the Beatles broke up essentially the year I was born, the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the Greatest Hits albums, which were two double albums, and I put them on and play them over and over again. And when I was very young, of course, I liked the red one, which was their 64 to 67. When I was a few years older, I liked 67 to 70, which was a little more sophisticated in sound. I just sat and let my head absorb the sound until I could, anywhere I was, I could just, my head would be filled with this perfect, what were they doing? Three-part harmony. The reason I love the Beatles, I discovered over time. Number one, Hard Day's Night is a funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. It's full of life. Richard Lester, who used to work, I think, with Dudley Moore I can't remember his name, Pete or something. They used to work on the Goon Show kind of stuff, absurdist kind of humor that comes out of England. It was liberated. And these boys were funny, and they were literate for being, you know, Liverpudlian and apparently being on the, you know, wrong end of the whatever, wrong side of the tracks. Well, they really weren't.
Yeah.
They burst forward in this thing, just ripping with energy, and as strange as it, you kind of jump into it and you think these guys are musicians, but they're really characters and they're funny and they can play this stuff, and I defy you to find somebody who can do that today.
Mm-hmm.
And their music is so lovely, and If I Fell, and of course you know, these things in three-part harmony. Where did they learn this? They grew up singing what? Choral music,
mm-hmm.
Bach, Brahms. I mean, they grew up in the British tradition of all the great stuff, and then the vaudeville stuff. So they had all this wonderful stuff channeling through them, and they burst out in their early 20s, late teens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right there in black and white, and it just lives forever because it's not in garish color. It's not dated in that same way that old color pieces become. So Hard Day's Night, Richard Lester, near the top of my list. I'm throwing it to you. Scott Bell.
Well, I mean, we've talked about my ailments in childhood, and I think that colored my worldview of trying to escape, you know, with movies. And, of course, the appeal for me was a lot of science fiction at that point. And I think, you know, partly, you know, there was some level of misery in my body because of all the ailments that I had. And so there was this kind of seed planted in me. I got to get out of this place. Who wrote that song? I got to get out of this place.
Burden in the Animal.
Yeah. So we're going way back in music, too, here. And so I remember being enthralled by the B-movie, science fiction movies, even the 50s and the 60s, the Godzillas, right? You remember that? We used to draw that as kids.
Absolutely.
We did cartoons. We made up our own monsters. We did spoofs of the old Japanese monster movies and such, and just had a great time with the imagination. And I remember in 1976, My dad gave me I don't know if it was a Newsweek or a Time magazine or something, and had these pictures of these spacecrafts and robots, and saying there's a new movie coming out in next year in 1977. My dad said they gave this to me. He said, hey, look at this. It looks pretty cool. Immediately the pictures just captured my imagination. I said, what is this space stuff? This sounds really awesome. And of course, like any 11-year-old at that time, very excited about the release of that new wonderful science fiction fantasy called Star Wars. And it did take me to that other place, really. Opened it up. The myths that were revealed in that, the hero's journey, you know, the kid that was just, you know, pulled out of, you know, farm and suddenly becomes the hero. All of that, I just remember that. I mean, these were the fantasies of the time. To be able to take it off. I mean, literally, we had imaginative groups in school where we would actually draw spaceships. I mean, I'm such a nerd here. I'm just saying it. The imagination was that. It was about the space travel. It was about traveling to distant places and exploring, having grand adventures. And it was very exciting. And, of course, so as a kid, that was the thing that was a major impact, you know, moment of, wow, the world, the imagination is so cool.
Now, that's a beautiful movie, Star Wars. The first one.
Yes.
Not before George Lucas desecrated it over and over again.
Yeah,
hey, let me tell you everything. Let me tell you all something. Han Solo shoots first. He shoots first. And he kills that green face.
He was a scoundrel.
He was a scallywag. He was a nerf herder. He shoots first. And that was a lesson that we could be taught in movies in the 70s.
Yeah.
George Lucas made this, but not the same George Lucas. You know, there used to be a rumor that Paul was dead somewhere in the 60s, because if you played one of their albums backwards, it goes, Paul is dead, but he wasn't really dead.
Right.
Well, I swear George Lucas has been replaced by an alien.
I think so. Well, I think it's kind of like what Spielberg did with E.T. when he went reback with E.T. and put flashlights in the hands of the police or the government agents instead of guns. You know, it's like, What happened? And, you know, there were harsh realities. Look, we drove around in cars as kids with no seatbelts. Oh, no seatbelts, no child restraint seats. We rode our bikes without helmets. You know, there were a lot of we stayed out till nightfall playing kick the can or, you know, kill the man with the ball, you know, smash and crack. I mean, it was all that stuff that we grew up with. And to some degree, it's become, or maybe to a great degree, it's become very sanitized. The world has become much too dangerous. But wasn't it always?
It always was, and it shall always remain. We just try to pretend that it's not. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're talking movies today. This is Liam Sheff. And we're just having kind of a break from the normal thing, even though the news cycle never stops. We're taking a little break in it. And hopefully you on Facebook and you out there in the blogging world, going to robertscottbell.com, can chime in with your favorites. Steven Spielberg, George Lucas came up, and George Lucas especially came up driving, I think, in Modesto, California. He was a hot rodder.
Yeah.
His second movie, American Graffiti, was about hot rodding. And yes, first sexual experiences and coming of age and all that kinds of stuff. And it starred Richie Cunningham, and the movie essentially was it starred Ron Howard.
Yeah.
And Cindy Williams, who was later in Laverne and Shirley,
that's right.
And Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford was in there as well.
He was driving not the Millennium Falcon, but just a muscle car of some sort. Oh, no, he was driving some sort of jalopy truck.
Yeah.
And I think Mackenzie Phillips is in the thing. Anyway, it's a good movie. It's really a good movie. Before that, Lucas made something called THX
1138 or something like
that. Yeah. And it's just a totally outre, weird, but it's a big brothery kind of 1984 piece, and it's intimidating and scary. It's weird. Shaved heads, 1984 kind of imagery, and then he makes Star Wars. And my feeling about Lucas was that coming up at that age, he was elbow in elbow with Francis Coppola and Steven Spielberg, and they were looking at the French New Wave of Francois Truffaut and the Italians of Zeffirelli making... the movie's going to escape me right now, the one about enlarging the picture, but it's just gone from my head. Blow up. And they're looking at Kurosawa. I mean, George Lucas was majorly impacted by the work of Akira Kurosawa. Star Wars was based in many ways on something called A Hidden Fortress, a Japanese movie. So he's immersed in film study at that point, and he's just sort of probably loving it, in love with it. And he burst out of his seams like
Well, there was a great exuberance and exhilaration about the experience that I remember. That was just the cowboy western in a whole new setting, but it was that element of a great joy of the journey itself. I mean, there was a grand adventure at every turn.
And you are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Go to robertscottbell.com and see what all the news that is usually fit to print. We're talking movies today. You're listening to the Natural News Radio Network on naturalnewsradio.com. We want to give a thanks. What is it? The Prepper Podcast?
Yeah, Prepper Podcast Network picks up the show every day, and that's at prepperpodcast.com. We appreciate that as well.
And you want to give a call, too?
Quite a shift gear, but you can call us at 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355.
And we will be back in un momentito.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
You're listening to the Quiet Storm of Health Talk Radio. This is Robert. This is Liam Schaff sitting in with Robert Scott Bell. Let's pick up the energy a little. We're going to talk about movies here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, and I'm not taking over the show. I'm commandeering it. There's a difference, and I just thought it. I thought it's good when you talk about health and issues and diseases and how to beat the FDA and the health Nazis out there in the world going crazy.
It's pretty intense.
Hay is illegal now. Hay.
Hay
and milk.
Hay is now an illegal substance to the EPA. If we learned, if you get rained on, hay somehow becomes a dangerous pollutant.
Oy vey, Ishmir. Yeah. So I just thought it's good to break things up a little. We need a break. We need that moment of relaxation. You need a moment to pull back and remember to nurture your soul. And I'm an American. You're an American. We didn't grow up with theater. I went to the theater sometimes, but even those shows were kind of big and stagey and really not very good, like Annie. You know.
Remember.
But we went to the movies.
Yep.
Going to the movies used to be a wonderful ritual.
We did. When I was real little, we'd go to the Saturday afternoon matinees, catch a couple of, you know, B movies, sci-fi, black and white even. And it was fun. You know, the parents would drop you off. You were young. You wouldn't do that today. But yeah, well, back then we could do that.
Really? You got to go to doubles.
Yeah, double features. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I rarely got to go to a double. They had double features only at the drive-in. You just got a few years on me. But we'd go and movies were dirt cheap.
Yep.
Even
50 cents.
Yeah, we even 15 years ago, matinees were $2.75.
Yeah.
So things have changed inordinately. That's not good.
But just to get political and economic, remember the one thin dime that you could buy a gallon of gas with still?
Yeah.
If it's made of silver?
You could go to the movies now.
Yep.
Actually, it would take
a couple, three dimes.
Three 50s dimes to go to the movies. But we used to be able to go still and take a family, and it wasn't that big a deal until they realized you could make a lot of money by selling hydrogenated cotton seed oil.
Oil covered
onto genetically modified corn, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be a good time to go to the movies. Now, where do we watch movies? We sit at home. We stream on the Netflix. It's a different experience. And I think that TV, good TV, and I'm talking kind of premier HBO kind of stuff, Sopranos, mm-hmm. Mad Men, a few shows, have really replaced the best writing that we used to get in the movies from, again, Coppola and the writers for
Scorsese's movie. Liam, when you're married and have kids, it all turns to animation. For a long time, years and years of animated kids' films. And, of course, thank God for some of them are just dynamic and open up a whole new world. I remember a dear friend of mine worked with DreamWorks Feature Animation, and I was out in California on a business trip doing some health lectures, and it happened to coincide with the premiere of Disney's Toy Story, the first one. And, you know, I always loved animation, the old Disney animation, but he said, you got to come see this. This is a new computer animated. I was like, a computer animated? What is that? Went in and was just blown away by the vivid colors. It was just like, it just suddenly opened up this exciting, bright new world. And it was very funny, witty. It had some of the old stand-ins. Who was that? You hockey puck. Don Rickles was in it too as well. But that I remember as an adult going to and being pleasantly blown away and surprised by the innovation and imagination of a technological advancement that worked.
It did. It's easy to knock the technological advances. It's easy to knock television because it's so bad. But television has given us a number of good things. I watched The Sopranos for a while. I watch this thing called Mad Men once in a while. I think these are really well written. But for the most part, when you're talking about 99% swill, I could probably do without those shows and just go and back and read the plays that I used to read under Milkwood and the Shakespeare plays that I like. But movies. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw out another. We're going to go dark.
Okay. Let's go dark. A scanner, darkly.
Through much darker than that.
Okay.
There was a movement in Scandinavia a number of years ago, in the 90s, called the Dogma Movement. And they only wanted to use natural light. And they only wanted to use actors without a ton of makeup. And they didn't want any, essentially, Hollywood stuff.
Mm.
They used gritty scripts. And one of the movies that came out of that that movement was called The Celebration. I think it was called Festen in Danish. And let me tell you, you don't know what you're in for. You starred in a car is sort of careening down a road going a little too fast, and people are arriving at this hotel. You don't know what they're there for. They're there for their parents, 500th anniversary, something like that, you know, a late anniversary. And the kids are arguing. They're adults. They're in their 30s. They're arguing. They're depressed, and they're really, really screwed up. And believe me, this is adult content that I'm about to get into. Really screwed up and bitterly fighting and full of problems. And one of the kids apparently has killed herself. And we're just shown this just in little poetic flashes here and there. Well, we're not really clued into what's happening. Let me tell you, it is shocking. I'm going to give away the turning point, but not the ending. One of the sons stands up in the middle, and he stands up, and again, this is dark stuff. He stands up and he rings his cup, and it's the dinner, and he says, "We're all here. And yes, we want to celebrate our parents' 50th whatever anniversary, and we also want to remember that it was our father who molested every single one of us when we were a kid, and that's why my sister killed him." Now, you just don't know what's happening. You're watching this movie. It is a shocking, shocking moment.
Wow.
And it's not played down, and there are no funny horns, and Vince Vaughn doesn't come in going, "Kidding." And there's no apology. And
it's got to be uncomfortable to watch that.
You're shocked. You're stunned deep inside. And all the rest of the kids look at him like, "What did you just say?" And everybody accuses him of lying. Was he lying? You got to get to the end of the movie to find out. Well, look, he's not. But the way the movie unrolls is to explore this bit of pain and darkness and to release the pain. It's an incredibly organic experience. A lot of people are abused out there. People don't want to talk about it.
Sure.
I bring it up. My childhood had its difficulties. I'm not afraid to talk about that. I found the movie to be extremely cathartic and very beautiful, and it ends very beautifully. And people do the right thing at the end.
Right.
It's a rare thing. It's a very rare thing. So I recommend that movie. And we're talking about freedom. It's the Robert Scott Belt Show. That movie is sometimes you have to go through the pain to get to the freedom. So that's my dark movie for the hour.
Your dark movie. What do I remember? These impactful movies. As I said, it's hard to remember prior to childhood unless you were a child. But another adult memory prior to kids was, in fact, I think it was 1999. I was up in Washington, D.C. at another seminar, and a new movie had just opened up, and I had some dear friends, another health care provider like a brother to me. We found this movie called The Matrix that just opened up. And what an experience that was. We had no idea what we were getting into with that. By the time we had finished watching it, it was like a revelation of a life's journey, a life's path. You know, Liam, you and I have talked about this off the air, about the journey to awakening, so to speak. And I had visited many of the world's religions, even in university, studied them as well. And I was just well-read, always asked the questions to annoy, whether it was a rabbi, a priest, whatever, it didn't matter. I was always the one asking the questions that they said, hey, get out of here, kid. You're bothering me. All right? Enough already.
Move along.
You know, nothing to see here. Wait till you're dead. And I never liked it. Just like when I was, you know, at that point at the university when I said, listen, I'm tired of sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they said, kid, maybe one day you'll grow out of it, and we don't know why you're sick. It's like, okay, that's it. I'm done. And so that movie, for me, visually, through the arts, put to a movie or visual experience or the whole experience what I thought could never be done in so many ways. And the thing about that movie is you can talk to a Christian, you can talk to a Jewish person, you can talk to a New Age person, and they'll all think it's talking about their religious belief system.
Right.
And how do you do that? That was brilliant.
Right.
Bloody brilliant. Hmm. And, you know, for me, like I said, it was that revelation as I saw through what's become known in the vernacular as The Matrix alone because of my experience to that point, and of course, many years into my healing journey, that indeed there was a matrix that was pulled over the eyes of everybody and that we had believed the lies of others who had wanted to control us, manipulate us, keep us used as if we were an energy source, a copper top. And it was a very literal meaning for me because I had lived through that and I had lived through an awakening like that happened in the Matrix, that suddenly you could never look at life the same way again. Did I want to get inserted back in? No, that was not for me.
Right.
But I know a lot of people that didn't want to know what I know and still don't. But then a lot of people do. That's why I do this show.
The Matrix, I felt, was a perfect compendium of worldly philosophies. You've got your Hindu, your Gnostic gospel, your
Christian mysticism, right?
Christian mysticism, your Judaic take on the chosen, all of these kinds of things wrapped into one perfect modern post-apocalyptic sci-fi nightmare. And it's really perfect. As long as you don't push too deep at, there's a moment in it, and I'm going to ruin it for everybody, but Morpheus, before he gained a lot of weight, in the future, you know, I don't know how he gained weight eating that white.
I don't know how he did the moves he did at the weight he was, but yeah, pretty talented kung fu they got there.
They did, you know, and the actors worked really, really very hard for those movies. And I know I never really care how hard actors work, but they did their own. They did a lot of their own stuff, and I respect that. Right? It's interesting, but there's a part in the movie, and I was enthralled by the movie. I remain enthralled by the movie. It's terrific, but there's a part where Morpheus goes. And this is how the robots run the world. They use human beings, and they show them just suctioning these fetuses up.
Yeah.
And they go, and he says, then they take the electricity produced by them. And I'm thinking, that's not a lot of electricity.
No.
And then he says, and everybody misses this when they're watching the movie, and he says, along with that electricity, along with a new form of fusion. And
right.
I'm like, what?
Yes.
Wait a second. They have fusion.
And they don't need the humans at that point.
Nuclear waste?
No.
And they're feeding people?
I think they had trouble with that, honestly, because, you know, it's true, that concept of the energy that they utilize. And I've argued this point for many years, that what we do in life, it provides energy for systems, for people, if you will. There are energy leeches. They exist as humans. And in that case, I don't don't know how. I think, yeah, they didn't succeed as well in that particular area. I agree. But it's, I overlooked it because the meaning behind it, I got, you know, I saw that immediately.
Absolutely. You can't, there is a matrix. You walk out into the world, you walk into the mall, there's the matrix. Mm-hmm. There, everybody's buying plastic. It's not numbers falling down, it's pieces of plastic. It's oil. We live in the oil matrix. Exactly. Mm-hmm. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show. This is Liam Sheff. Manning the wheel, steering the ship a little bit, letting Robert take
commandeered, as you said.
Commandeered. We're talking about I commandeered the ship. We're talking about movies.
I can't do it, Captain. Because it's too much. I'm abandoning ship.
Robert just jumped into the water. Hopefully you'll stay tuned. Give a call to Robert anytime at 1-866-939-2355. 866-939, I believe that's Bell. You're listening to the naturalnewsradio.com. Go to robertscottbell.com to see what we're talking about all week long. We will be back with more movies and your comments in a minute.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only 5-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my 5-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support your and your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorldWhey.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Bly.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
So let it be written. So let it be done. We're talking movies today on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
I can't believe we're talking movies, Leo.
We're talking movies on the Robert Scott Bell Show. This is Robert Scott Bell, rocking out.
It's like I got a hall pass. You don't have to talk Hell Freedom today, Liam.
You are free to peruse the hall.
Yeah, I know. Well, like I said, it's a mission, it's a passion, but I think what's good about doing this is just like in life, there are times where you need to unplug from things. You have to get a time to take a deep breath. I mean, every day if you can, but certainly in terms of the balance in life. I love the arts. I love creative imagination. You've heard me riff on it on the air, and it means all about all of that. You know, the whole idea of the starving artist is discomforting to me because, you know, there's such value in it. But yet I do see people that, you know, lose out on the grounding of life itself sometimes in if you call it an overindulgence in the creative side, which is weird because it's not that I try to see. But those that, my gosh, I got two kids, right? I got a wife. And you have to be very practical about these things to take care of them. You know, it's not just you floating through life, traveling around. I've done that. I used to go to Europe every year as a teenager in my, you know, through my 20s and backpack. And it was, wow, what wonderful adventures those were. But there was a point in my life I said, okay, now it's a different chapter. You know, not because anybody else told me it was. It just felt it was time. And I don't know if I've told this story, but, you know, when I first got married, you know, there's also that element. Oh, do you want kids to come in and spoil it for you? You're young, you're in love, you're married. And, you know, I had an imaginative contemplation technique where I imagined my life 10 years in the future without kids. My sister had just had her first child, and it you know, brought that up for me. And I imagined what my life would feel like without kids. And I felt very empty, very sad. And it wasn't until that moment that I realized I was ready to have children now. Hmm. You know, that was my late 20s, approaching 30. And that was an interesting experience, too. So, as I said, when I think about movies, sometimes I'm digging for things, but I always tend to look at it through the child's eye because so many of the movies I've been involved with since the kids came around are all those that focal point on their enjoyment, entertainment, and engagement and creative imagination, which I still love. Don't get me wrong. I do love the kids' movies, so...
I remember having the same conversation and coming up with a different answer.
Yeah.
Do you want to have kids? No.
Did you use that imaginative technique too?
No.
Yeah. I didn't know that I would feel that way, honestly. I really didn't know when I did that. And it overwhelmed me. It was the sadness. It was like, oh my gosh, it would be horrible if I didn't have. So at that moment, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, it wasn't a doubt anymore, not a shred of doubt. And so that was, it surprised me because at that moment, I didn't think I was ready nor wanted them until I imagined myself 10 years in the future. And I was like, oh my God, I do.
I think I was an ungrounded artist in many ways. I think I developed a sense of life and practicality in many ways by books I read. I remember reading East of Eden when I was just a teenager, and I was so happy with it because it seemed like such a daunting book, but it's really just such a, it's not quite a bodice ripper, but it is a bit of a soap opera about this family in Northern California trying to raise food and having a giant Cain and Abel drama, literally Cain and Abel drama with a disreputable mother and all the rest of the kind of stuff that accompanies it. The movie is very good. Was it the movie of East of Eden? I believe the director was it Kazan? Do you know?
I don't recall.
I think he was one of the ones got in trouble for ratting on people during the Blacklist. But look, we're going to jump back into movies. I did have the opposite experience. I didn't want to have kids. You know, the thing about being male is you're spoiled. You can still have them in your 40s if you choose.
Well, if you're Tony Randall in your 70s, right?
No comment.
Okay. That's the odd couple if there ever was one.
Jumping back into movies, I'm going to list a few of my favorites. The 400 Blows, François the 400 Coups, the 400 Blows. François Truffaut is a French... He's writing the new wave, the vague nouvelle of French cinema, and this thing is black and white, and it's handheld cameras, and you're following this boy, and you see Paris through a boy's perspective, a boy's perspective. And his mother is just really not very present. She's sort of dating some guy. And he is liberated in the sense that he's able to take care of himself in this ancient city, this ancient Roman city, right, of Paris. And he's able to find his way, and yes, he gets into trouble. And that story is continued by Truffaut in less successful movies, but it's really like a poem, this movie. And if you, again, had a rough childhood or whatever, you really, you really follow it, you get into it, and it's not, you know, blood and guts, and you don't have to watch anybody get, I don't know, beaten up or raped, or you don't have to watch kids, you know, which is really a grotesque movie, kind of a later day. There was a movie called Joe the King made in the last few years, directed by Frank Whaley. I think Val Kilmer's in it. It's really a good follow-up to The 400 Blows. So that's another one of my favorites. Philadelphia Story. Remember these classics?
Yes.
Jimmy Stewart. You can watch him in anything.
Mm-hmm.
They almost don't make actors like that. I think Tom Hanks is considered sort of a later day Jimmy Stewart, but Jimmy Stewart's an original. Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn playing mainline Philadelphia for laughs. Very sophisticated, very funny stuff. And what you get in a movie like His Girl Friday, which is another Cary Grant movie, is an honest view of the press. They're decrepit vultures. They're waiting for blood to be spilt on the cement, and they're just waiting and waiting for the guy to be hung, and they don't care about anything. They're so cynical. They could make a saint burst into tears for being treated so badly. So I loved movies that told truths about life, because I was raised... Where were you raised? I mean, I was raised in kind of a suburban nothing land where we were supposed to believe that all the weird stuff in the world didn't exist. So like the kid in... Like Kyle MacLachlan, right, in Blue Velvet, you see the ear on the grass, and you go, there's a dark world out there.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by it. I unfortunately experienced a lot of it growing up, but the suburban cul-de-sac pretended it wasn't there. So my group, my generation, we all went to the movie. We watched Clockwork Orange. We watched Blue Velvet. We watched these things, and they said, oh, there's a darkness out there. And The Godfather Part Two, The Deer Hunter, all these movies, Apocalypse Now, we needed to see them to feel the grit of the world. Because we felt we had been insulated by this plastic American society. And as soon as I could, I got out into the cities, and I got to Europe, and I got out into American cities, and I needed to live in North and West Philly. I needed to live in the poorest neighborhoods I could find. I needed to know that experience.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want a dark movie, I remember as a kid, when we first got cable, when it was the same movie that played over and over and over for the month, or maybe there were two movies that would play for a week, and we got that. And The Exorcist came on.
Oh.
And I was, again, a kid, but I watched this thing, and I don't know if it was an adaptation to it, but I laughed through the whole movie. I thought it was I just saw it as fake and phony. I don't know why. And so, you know, a head turning around, pea soup coming out of something. I thought it was hilarious. And maybe I was a twisted sense of humor that I had, but I never bought into it. You know, it could have been so scary. And I remember a friend of mine, one of my oldest friends, going back as far back as I can remember, just freaked out. We were kids. And, you know, maybe not shouldn't have watched it, but he ran home. He was so scared. But as far as that goes, I guess I saw the movies, too, the unreality of it, the ability to make stuff up. Sometimes I could see through it. And maybe that's how I adapted to looking at horror. I mean, I don't like... the brutal horror, graphic horror kind of stuff. I do like the suspenseful, scary stuff, but you know, the gratuitous kind of stuff just didn't appeal to me. And I saw that as more cartoon-like for some reason. I was thinking back to another movie that jumps out at me. I got to draw back. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Ooh.
Do you remember?
Yeah, that's
Jack Nicholson. And you know, I think back to what that was. Here was a guy that was just living life on his own terms. And, you know, rules weren't part of his life per se. It was all about breaking them. And at the end, of course, the thought form was that society broke them, you know, in the bigger scheme. Of course, they did the lobotomy and the Indian chief at the end took them out. And it was so sad, so profound. It did impact me because I saw that a lot of society, a lot of culture would take those so-called misfits, those joyous, happy fools, and try whatever they could to fit them back into that box. And so it had an impact on me in that context. Again, if you hear my passion when I rail against psychiatrists, you may know that there's a lot of that I feel just destroys the human spirit, and it destroys children as well, who try, you know, when you try to conform these kids in an extreme way. I don't mean normal discipline and polite manners. That's a different story. But to take kids out of that creativity, or even adults, that to me was something that really struck me heavily with that film.
Yeah, movies used to really, popular movies used to embrace very difficult issues. And Nicholson, who's considered kind of a strange clown now at this point, made shocking movies. visceral, disturbing, even emotionally disturbing, quiet movies like Five Easy Pieces, where he's, you know, a musician who can't quite reconcile with his family's expectations. And though that doesn't sound like anything, it can keep you held in. And of course, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Nicholson was a fantastic actor. He made a movie, let's see, it was with Randy Quaid, and I can't remember the name, and another actor, and they're sailors out on leave. And it is, you know, it's known, I mean, he's talking like a sailor through the movie, and they have to bring this kid who went AWOL back, and it's just the story of their little voyage. You couldn't make a movie like this. There's no happy ending. There's no Disney score at the end. It isn't redemptive. You get a feeling that life is full of choices, and it's not fair. That point isn't really made by movies anymore. You know, Megatron and what's the other guy? Deceptiface.
Decepticons.
Yeah, Deceptiface and
Michael Bay movies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Michael Bay movies. I don't know.
They're soulless.
I don't know what the resounding message that you walk away with, except I need to get to Burger King to get the plastic
toy.
Right. Movies used to make you, they used to trouble you enough to think, and you could even talk for weeks. Hey, did you just see this Nicholson movie? Did you see what they did with this? Did you see, what is the subtext of all this stuff? What's the subtext of The Exorcist? It's all a question of what's the meaning of Christianity in the culture. I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah. I didn't get that deep as a kid, but, you know, I understand and appreciate the ride, you know, like going to a amusement park and riding a coaster. There's not a lot of meaning per se to that coaster ride other than the exhilaration. And many of these movies that they've churned out have lost the genuine excitement, childlike excitement of the ride, so to speak. So it becomes a soulless enterprise that you know, if you really unplug and you just desperately need to unplug, you can go to a Michael Bay movie and you'll lose 2.5 hours you'll never get back. But at the same time, you know, there are adventures that still come out from time to time that are a little more worthwhile the time spent.
And we're deconstructing society through the movies of Liam Sheff with Robert Scott Bell on The Robert Scott Bell Show. Be back in a minute.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's The Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it, because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio, it's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
And this is Two Thumbs Up with Robert Scott Bell and Liam Sheff. We're doing the movie. We're not doing movie reviews. We're talking about movies and what they mean and concepts of freedom and what they meant to us growing up and how the culture has changed or not changed and all the rest of that kind of thing. We're talking about movies here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're taking a break from health, freedom, and talking a little bit of freedom of the imagination. We're talking about cinema, the seventh art. Go to robertscottbell.com to see all the news that's breaking and shaking. Go to Natural News. You're at Natural News Radio. What are you doing here? It's good to have you. Naturalnewsradio.com 5 days a week to hear the freshest and truest news. Robert and I have been talking movies. We're gonna get on our geek shoes and taped up glasses, and we're going to pull our hair down over our ears, and we're going to geek out.
I thought we were going to nerd out.
We're going to gork out.
Getting circus clownish.
We're talking science fiction.
Yeah, science, sci-fi. Again, my favorite, sci-fi, going way back. I remember going with my dad. A lot of great memories with my dad. And when, you know, he passed a couple of years ago. But the childhood memories I have going out to the movies with him, great, great memories. We would go see. And I remember the Planet of the Apes series as a kid. You remember, not the new versions. I actually haven't even seen the new reboot of it. But back then, wow, what? I mean, those were intense places. They took you to a whole other world of what are they saying? I don't know that I knew or understood it completely at the time, but they were very intense themes. But I was very drawn to them and enjoyed seeing those films. And maybe it's the memory of going with Dad too. But still, you know, the scene that you never forget, the end of the first one with Charlton Heston at the Statue
of
Liberty.
I think we have a clip of that.
Do we have it?
You maniacs! You blew it up! Damn you!
Damn it all to hell, he said. Something along those
lines. Damn you! Oh, sorry, the clip faded out.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that was Charlton Heston doing his great 70s, his 60s, 70s sci-fi, you know, the Omega Man, Soylent Green.
Yep.
Soylent Green is people.
Yes.
See, science fiction movies, I consider science fiction to be the place where you can go in the culture to tell the truth in a way that you can tell mm-hmm. it no other place.
Right.
You can't even make a drama. If you set it in the future and you put a robot in it, you can say anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that slavery still exists. You can say that human beings are awful. You can say that corporations run the world and are trying to destroy us all. Science fiction is a liberating place. It used to be nerdy to be like science fiction. The 50s, geeks, you know, white tape in the middle of black glasses. Have you read the latest Isaac Asimov story? Well, it's pretty fascinating. And then Lucas changed that all.
Robert Heinlein.
Yeah. And every kid after age 7 in 1977 can make this sound.
Yep, we all could do it.
Right,
that's right.
Lightsaber battle. And pew, pew.
Yeah.
And so it was no longer nerdy, and we weren't playing cowboys and Indians anymore. We played Star Wars.
Right. Yep.
Laser
guns, lightsabers, all that stuff. And, you know, that the imagination still kicks in. My kids love it, you know, going back to even the original stuff, not the reboots, even though they don't know as much about that. But the original ones capture the imagination just as well. We have some of the older versions, although we've talked about Lucas keeps screwing it up, making it over and over and over again. But
no, he's recast in the new release Justin Bieber as Luke Skywalker.
Is that what he did recently?
Digital recasting.
I missed that. I'm not going to allow my kids to see that.
He sings the whole and dances.
I'm going to censor that.
And Darth Vader doesn't kill Ben Kenobi, but they actually
but exploring the themes. Listen, we found the lost episode, remember, of Star Trek with the GMO corn monsters that you did.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
You found
it.
Great archive that no one knew about.
No one knew.
But, you know, the whole Star Trek, even before the movies, the themes that you could address, including racism. That was a big one growing up. You know, I grew up a lot of years in the South. Although, you know, fit in as a white boy, although they didn't know any Jewish people, so it's kind of an anomaly. It's like, what is that? I don't know that. But introducing bagels to Stone Mountain, you know, that was interesting. That is a science fiction movie. But, you know, I was raised in a way where color honestly didn't matter to us, and it was a whole different thing where I realized that kids learn that from their parents. Because I had a lot of friends whose parents were, we'd say, racist. You know, they believe, I don't know if they actually have a belief in the inherent genetic superiority of one race over another, but they grew up in an era and a time where they looked at people of different color very differently. And in science fiction, you could explore those things. And I was able to look at these parallel universes and say, gee, wouldn't it be nice to not have to worry about, you know, different visuals, and it doesn't really mean anything except culturally, perhaps.
That was the Roddenberry take. Other people took it in different directions, but science fiction is that liberating place where you can tell truths. You had something disturbing like Clockwork Orange, written by Anthony Burgess. You put it into the future because you couldn't, even though it was happening, even though this socialist totalitarian nightmare was happening and kids were totally disaffected.
Yep.
And they were forming little gangs. Sure, he mixed it with a little bit of Russian, and so they were ultra-violent. They even called it the ultra-violence, and they were on drugs all the time. Mm. You get a movie like Logan's Run, which is being remade now. Everybody has to be young and beautiful. You die after 30. Nobody. What does it mean? A society with no use for wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
No use for anything that comes through
Very
experience?
Very much like what we've done in discarding our elders in this culture in the West. Which, you know, I've told stories very often about just sitting on airplanes next to old folks that I wouldn't let them not talk. You know, I wanted to pull out stories of their childhood. Just, I didn't know them, but I wanted to hear about what it was like when they were young and anything that they learned and gleaned. I often would ask them about the food when they were kids. And they said, you know, it tasted so differently. Mm, they described it very vividly. And that was where I was awakening to this whole idea of food, you know, because I didn't know it growing up. And so they would say, yeah, I remember when food was it was a different world visually and from a taste bud perspective as well.
One of my favorite movie. You know, I just want to add, I've tried to get some of the older people in my family to talk. Unfortunately, some older people become very reluctant to tell stories. They weren't encouraged, especially after World War II. They don't tell these stories, but it's a topic for another show, maybe.
Yeah.
Another movie, one of my favorites of the last 15, 16 years, is called Dark City.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, I think it's better than The Matrix because the science fiction premise is more of an old-timey science fiction premise.
Right.
You're in a city. It's a mixture of 1990 slums and 1920 Fritz Lang metropolis.
Yeah.
And you don't even know what's happening. And everybody falls asleep at midnight and they wake up and they have different identities. And you realize there's some sort of weird looking ghostly, ghoulish people who reprogram people and they inject something into their head. And they're playing a game with everybody. And most everybody forgets who they really are. They think they're the reprogrammed personality. And the city changes and changes every night and slightly refigures. And there's never a daytime. Hmm. And you can never get out of the city. And the train never lets you out. And some of the people wake up and realize, two people wake up and realize, one kills himself and the other is the hero. And you have to see what happens. You got to go see the movie.
Yeah.
He realizes and he keeps seeing. It's like The Matrix, but different movie. Did you see Dark City?
I did see Dark City, and it lived up to its name. It was a very intense experience. It wasn't one that I necessarily felt uplifted after seeing, but it was definitely drew me in. Definitely drew me in. One of the ones going back to more recent sci-fi briefly. V for Vendetta, in fact. You know, I know it's related to the Wachowski brothers again, the Matrix guys, but a very verbose film. But at the same time, I was really drawn in because the themes are so important to me in this life. Tyranny versus freedom aspect. It played into the pharmaceutical industrial complex aspect, how it was being utilized in a way to create pandemics, and then they came in with the cure and it ended up creating the disaster and more. So there are a lot of themes that are very current to what we try to do here. I try to do every day on the Robert Scott Bell Show, that wake up call. And through the arts, Liam, like we see through the movies, they tell the stories sometimes we can't tell so directly. There are things that I still can't say on my radio show, which I would like to say directly. And we have to do it in stories. We have to kind of dance around and through things or else we couldn't do this tomorrow. So I'm very sensitive to those energies as well. And again, the movies, the theater, the creative imagination, these things allow us to go places we couldn't ordinarily go.
And we could say that a truer word is said in jest and maybe in the arts. That's why it's good to liberate cinema from the petroleum empire that now makes us worship robots fighting each other. Mm-hmm. We need some actual heroes and anti-heroes like we used to have. This is Liam Sheff sitting in on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We took a break from the heavy, 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 heavy world of pharmaceuticals, skullduggery, and we talked movies. Tune into Robert Scott Bell every day on naturalnewsradio.com. Give Robert a call at 1-866-939-2355. Robert reminds you every day that the power
to heal
is the planet
is yours. And at the movies.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
After 21 years as a nutritional consultant, I have learned that the greatest roadblock to health is a compromised ability to detoxify. If your body fails to detoxify enough, you suffer from infections, diseases of all kinds, and die young. Detoxification involves a properly working liver and sufficient production of glutathione. Glutathione represents 60% of one of your liver detox systems. There are many products on the market that try to raise glutathione or detoxify the body. The most sophisticated ones cost $300 out the door and $1,200 or more over 6 months. We believe there's a quicker and more effective way to achieve detoxification. It is One World Way. One World Way is the most undamaged, unrefined, life-giving whey protein powder on the market we have found. Taking One World Way will feed your body the building blocks to rebuild, repair, and detoxify. To help you feel great again, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.